In the room. Thank you. Thank you. I'd like to call the, are we on, are we live?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'd like to call the December 14th, 2011, Alaska Industrial Development Export Authority meeting, board meeting, to order. It is 10:35 a.m. Roll call, please.
Mr. Wilkins?
Here.
Mr. Sheldon?
Here.
Mr. Hughes? Mr. Arvin? Deputy Commissioner Bruce Harden?
Here.
Commissioner Bell? Mr. Short?
Here.
We have a call.
Thank you very much. Moves us to item three, which is, and let the record show that we should be fully, have a full board here shortly. Item three, agenda approval. We have, just an introduction here, we've got a little bit of a dance going on today. I think we're going to go in and out on the record, off the record, eight different times today, so I think I'm well spoken here. We've got an agenda in front of us for the ADA meeting. A motion to approve this agenda as presented would be in order.
So moved.
Motion, second by Mr. Sheldon. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign, hearing none. Have an agenda. Move on to item four, roll call of staff, please.
Jed Leonard, ADA.
Chris Anderson, ADA.
Brian Bjorkus, Department of Law.
Jerry Judea, Department of Law.
Valerie Walker, ADA.
Jim Hemsath, ADA.
Sherry Severson, ADA.
Terry Webster, ADA.
Sandy Burrows, ADA.
Chris Rutz, ADA.
Carl Reich, ADA.
Jay Drury, ADA.
Brenda Applegate, ADA.
Linda McMillan, ADA.
Teresa Obermeyer, Self.
Sarah Fisher, ADA.
Karsten Rodvik, ADA.
Shauna Howell, AEA. And then for the public.
Pat Kynes, with the Financial Group.
And is anyone on the phone?
Thank you very much. That brings us to Mr. Bjorkquist. I'll give you a couple minutes here to make an introduction.
Thank you. I wanted to introduce to the board Jerry Judea. He's a new Assistant Attorney General who's going to be working on ADA matters in the future. I just wanted to give you a little bit of his background. He's been a lawyer practicing law in Alaska for almost 30 years, most recently with Atkinson, Conway, and Gagnon, where he worked on real estate, corporate law, and handled other types of business transactions and commercial and construction litigation. We are incredibly pleased at the Department of Law to have Jerry. He has immense experience and skill in commercial matters. He's been recognized recently in several different contexts. He was named Anchorage 2012 Lawyer of the Year in Corporate Law by the peer rating service Best Lawyers in America. He earned the designation of Super Lawyer in Business and Corporate Law since 2007. He's a recommended real estate lawyer in the 2011 Chambers USA Guide to Leading Lawyers for Business. And he's listed on the 2011 Bar Register as preeminent lawyers in the areas of commercial litigation and construction law. Very qualified, and I'm confident that he's going to be doing an excellent job for you as you go forward. I just wanted to introduce him.
Thank you, Mr. Bjorkquist. Mr. Judea, welcome to the team.
Thank you.
Appreciate you being here, and we look forward to working with you. Great. That brings us to item
five,
public comments. We do have a three-minute limit on public comments, and just to let the record show, Mr. Arvin, Mr. Hughes have joined us. Welcome.
Good morning.
Morning.
Thank you.
Is there anyone on the phone that would like to make comment at this time? Do we have anyone on the phone? No. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to make comment?
Mr. Short, Teresa Obermeyer, sir, may I come forward?
Please do.
Thank you. I'm really very embarrassed for Brian. How are you, Wilson?
Fine.
You know, we're from Missouri, and you're going to have to show up. How are you, Mr. Arvin? I have something to pass out, and that's why I'm dropping by. You see, I really am going to become known as the public comment person, and it's okay. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I am an American. When it finally has gotten so bad that I have watched Larry Cohn misappropriate a tremendous amount of money to bring down Judge Richard Postma,
in last year's retention election, and I filed a complaint against him at the APOC. And what I finally did is I posted on my website exactly what had gone on and the misappropriation of public funds. One is that the simplest rule of the APOC is in the preceding 9 days before any election, if you spend over $250, you have to file daily. He spent over $250 on 6 of 9 days, and he didn't file anything. That's one thing. Then I don't know whether you remember Vic Fisher and his demented radio ads, which cost $11,000, singling out one judge. This is all so unbelievable. And then after the election was over, he tried to pretend that you do not have to pay in advance for advertising. Now, see, of course, I've run for office, and I know, and Mr. Ardman knows, you do not get any advertising in any political campaign unless you pay up front in the check as cash before the ads run. So I hope that you will look at this. What is my logic, Mr. Short? There are 7 judgeships open right now at the Alaska Judicial Council, and it is time for all of us to become court watchers. I just apologize, sir. I come from a family of attorneys, and I'm a judge's daughter. I will always be a court watcher, but I could never have imagined what could have been possible in a 52-year-old frontier that is the only state in the United States that does not have a law school. The only state where there is no elected attorney by designation, and in a state where we have 3 clock hours of mandatory continuing legal education, and they want to say this is a profession, Wilson? I don't think so. Of course, my husband's been licensed in Missouri as a Category 1 attorney for 21 years, and he's chosen that so that it's mandatory that he take 15 hours of continuing legal education every year. You know, Mr. Short, all of this is really too long. I, of course, am one that would love to field questions. I know the law. I don't know everything about the law. Mr. Jude sounds like he has a very good background. But where is Tom Obermeyer's law license, gentlemen? See, just to tell you, Mr. Short, I came for many years. I was trying to remember. The last time I think I came was in 2007.
Ms. Obermeyer, we have a strict 3-minute limit.
Yes, sir, and that's fine. Did you have a question?
It's 3 minutes at this point.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for your testimony.
Oh, sure. And then would you have a really nice holiday? And drive safely to Girdwood. I didn't realize you were driving back and forth every day.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the public that would like to make comments this time? Seeing none, we will move on. Close of the public comment period. Move on to item 6, prior minutes of the November 9th, 2011 meeting. A motion would be in order to approve the minutes. Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I have one item that at the 11th hour I noticed here.
We can do a
here.
Motion and then a second
okay.
That we can
pardon
do the
me.
Amendments to that.
Pardon me.
Perfect.
Move to approve.
A motion. Is there a second?
Second.
A motion and a second. Okay. Mr. Sheldon?
Mr. Chair, I'd move to amend the minutes. Page 4 of 7 in our packet, the third paragraph from the bottom. Second sentence begins, Mr. Raich said it was be a challenge. Perhaps the word would might be inserted instead of was.
Okay.
No and I believe that's the only item that I had. Thank you.
Great. Any other amendments, changes, clarifications? Hearing none, all those in favor of the minutes as amended, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, we have minutes. Brings us to item 7, new business. Item A, resolution number G11-22, FY 2013 dividends memorandum. Mr. Leonard.
Yes, Chair. Thank you very much. Resolution G11-22 is for the organization or the board to set the dividend for 2013. This dividend is based on statutory income of FY 2011, and the requirements for the board are that they set a dividend between 25% and 50% of that statutory net income. In the resolution, the staff is recommending that we do the dividend at 50%, almost 50%, 49.9 rounded to the nearest dollar. And that amount would be $20.4 million. In the memo are schedules that give, in essence, to me a stress test of the certain different scenarios that we could have to show that whether or not we would continue to meet our debt coverage ratio and our statutory limits. And Valerie's here to answer any questions on that. And again, we believe that we can give the maximum amount to our shareholder, the state, and still be able to move forward with the business that we believe we need to in the future. And staff is available for any questions.
Very good. Questions from the board. Mr. Hughes?
No.
No questions. Mr. Harvey?
I had a question. Maybe I'm not following the math, but 50% of $40,874,000 is not $20,400,000. And I know you mentioned the percentage under, but is it 50% or is it?
It's approximately 49. Valerie, could you?
It's 50%, not rounded, with no decimals. It's 49. I don't know if it's 9 or 8.
Okay, because I'm not sure what the maximum is, a percentage, right? 50%?
Right.
Yes.
So it would, I guess, just straight line math, it would be another 35,000 or something to.
It'd be another 30. We can't go over, so it'd be a little less than 35,000.
Yeah. I don't know if that's important or not. It just jumped out at me, so I thought I'd mention it.
It's an attempt to keep it in nice round numbers. That's why.
Okay.
Absolutely. We pay it assuming that Department of Revenue continues to agree to our methodology. Mm-hmm. We pay it quarterly, mm-hmm. and so just dividing by four nice rounded hundred thousands has been not 100% what we've done, but traditionally what we've attempted to do. Just
and the
it's rounded to the closest.
49.
Right. There is a schedule attached, which we did take out past the 50%. I'm sorry, two decimals. So, like last year's using revolving fund was 49.93%, but it rounds to 50. And again, it was the 400,000.
Thank you.
Could you speak to the reasons for the decline in net income off the revolving loan fund from 2010 to 2011? What were the factors, the reasons for that?
The biggest single factor, and it is truly the biggest factor, is the difference in the market value decline of investments. Last year, 2010, the rates had changed, rates dropped, investment gain was much higher, and last year it was much smaller, so the differential, let's see, the dollars are in here. Okay. We had the net increase in fair value of investments was $346,000. In 2011, it was almost $6 million in 2010. So that fluctuation is what it is. I mean, everything else kind of rounds out when you look at the differences, but that number, and that's the thing with the projections, we just cannot predict what that number is, and that's what makes the dividend so difficult, because that's a point in time, June 30 to June 30 number, that is required for generally accepted accounting principles. So it's the investment gain or loss differential on our investments.
In essence, in the old accounting standards, the unrealized gain.
Right. In years past, we didn't have to recognize market value fluctuations. It was only if we sold something. But
I understand.
For years
the other
now.
Question I have is,
of the amount that the state of Alaska capitalized Ada with initially, how much have we paid back to the state? Assuming this is the amount we're going to make in a dividend, what is the amount that they've capitalized, and have we completely paid back the capital to the state after this dividend? And if not, when do we expect that to happen?
We have not completely paid back. I don't have that information. I can get it before the end of the meeting. And we have not projected when we expect to pay it back.
In the ballpark?
It was around 340 million, Val, something like that. We did this in Robert's presentation. We had those
numbers. That's right. Because I'm thinking of the equity with $900 million. Brenda, do you remember?
We actually have paid it back with the payments we made in the 90s.
That's right. That's
so
right.
So we're actually approximately, again, about, we're actually going ahead now. This one would bring us about 20-some million to the good.
We can get the numbers and have it to you, as I said, before the end of the meeting.
Great. Other questions from the board?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to echo the importance of this point, because if I understood correctly, we were very close, or this would push us over, and I think that's worth noting, that this authority has certainly done its good job in both stewardship of funds as well as creating jobs and the other focuses in its mission. The other area that I wanted to mention is on page 5, referencing bond covenant requirements and cash to debt ratio. I just wanted to thank staff for putting this section together in the way that they did. It made reading through the materials a lot simpler. Normally, I flip to tables first, and then I go and read, and this time I flipped to tables, and I saw things I wasn't quite familiar with. I thought a very good job was done in laying out the various ratio requirements and how they may not only impact bond covenants, but also rating agency concerns. So I wanted to thank staff for a job well done in that area.
And the total amount, Chair, with this next year is approximately $324.4 million of total dividends to the state of Alaska.
Any other questions from the board? If not, is there a motion to approve? I don't think we've done it. Motion to approve the resolution would be in order.
Mr. Chair, move that resolution G11-22 be moved. It be approved.
Is there a motion? Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Hughes. Discussion? Hearing none, roll call, please.
Mr. Wilkins?
Aye.
Mr. Shelton?
Aye.
Mr. Hughes?
Yes.
Mr. Arvin?
Aye.
Deputy Commissioner Bruce Hansman?
Yes.
And Mr. Short?
Yes.
Motion passed.
Thank you. Bring us item 7B in your packet. Resolution number G11-21 regarding the Ada building.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for passage of the G1122. Resolution G1121 gives the Executive Director authority to move forward with procuring professional support services to support the procurement of a replacement office building and sale of the existing building. This resolution gives us, the staff, up to $350,000 to procure professional services to implement a procurement plan. It does not give us authority to actually go out and purchase the building. After we do the procurement plan, go out for the RFP, we would come back to the board. And the four areas we're considering is, with this procurement plan, is the purchase of renovation of an established building, or the purchase of a portion of an established or newly constructed building, or three, new construction based on our requirements. And the fourth is any viable alternative that may come up as we go through the process. So I have Chris Retz and Jay here to go over the procurement plan. And also Carl Reisha is here somewhere. I don't see him. Also, if you have any questions.
Mr. Retz?
The intent here is just to go forward and, based on the discussions in the previous board meeting, to implement the plan. And if you look at Attachment A, the first step is we intend to solicit for brokerage services as well as an A&E firm that would assist us in crafting the RFP that we will be putting out, as well as acquiring an appraisal of the existing building so that we've got a handle on, you know, what kind of numbers we should be looking at. And then we've also got some requests for legal services in here, knowing that once we get to some point, we may need some possibly outside counsel and assisting in crafting whatever kind of purchase arrangement we're going to be doing. The intent then is once we get the team, hopefully by early February, we'll have an RFP that we can put out on the street. We will be following a competitive process that the procurement code, which we're under right now under 3630, will be following processes in there. But real estate isn't subject to 3630, so we're going to be putting together a hybrid process working with the Department of Law so that we can hopefully evaluate the various options at the same time. Contrary to what we heard from our consultant at the last board meeting, which said, you know, people spend 2 years trying to find an existing building, then stop and start all over again. Well, we're hopefully going to put together a process where we can consider what those options that are available in the market right now, working with professionals who are familiar with the market, as well as an engineering firm that can assist us. We may be a little high on the engineering estimates. We incorporated the money in there to include due diligence, depending on what kind of facilities that we're up against. We would not expect those engineering services to cover the cost of new design on a new building. It's only related to due diligence services. So once we have the RFP out on the street, you know, we would be getting responses. We expect there would be a multi-phase response. And during that process, we would be trying to keep the board appraised of what's going on. At the last meeting, I know there was some concern with advertising our sticker price. We believe at this particular point in time, considering the alternatives we're looking at, we don't need to advertise our sticker price. We explain what our needs are and see what the market comes back to us at, and then let you know or keep you informed as to what's going on. And any proposal and any award or acceptance and offer would be subject to board approval. Once we get into it, it's very hard to say how long it would take. As we expect, any kind of new construction could take as much as 2 years, and maybe we'd get lucky and find another building that would just perfectly suit us right away. In the meantime, we'll also be evaluating what our current space needs are, as well as doing some projections on future space needs. So, any other questions?
Open it up right now to the board for questions. Mr. Arpin?
Mr. Chairman, thank you. So when you plowed through the add-up to 350, you say in the second bullet on the first page that it's procuring brokerage services for procuring an office building and eventually selling the existing building. Staff anticipates a monthly fee for services with an initial budget of $30,000. I'm not sure what that means. But then on the second page, it talks that this doesn't include brokerage fees. So I'm a little puzzled.
Chair, if I could explain. I was asking, because there may be a desire to get some services and from broker to assist us in putting together this RFP, which is not necessarily the standard way that brokers do business out there, there may be some expenses and some costs. And we did a little research in the brokerage community trying to figure out how to craft this. And the recommendation was, well, if you had a contingent fee, like a monthly fee to cover some expenses in the event that you don't close on a deal, there would be some way that they could recuperate their cost and we'd get you know, best value out of it. And you're absolutely correct. Any actual fees that would be paid the broker would be contingent on probably a percentage of the sale of this building, as well as either a shared fee on the purchase of a new property or a fixed price. And we're going to be incorporating those fees, that fee structure, in our RFP when we're going out and looking for brokerage services. So the estimate of 30 is just what we would think of something to cover expenses during the process, and that's it. But we are going to be selecting a broker. The cost or what they're proposing to get out of it is going to be one of the criteria we'll be using and evaluating.
Okay. I know they're, based on the numbers that we usually look at, these are small numbers, but that just did jump out at me.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Further questions, Mr. Tyler?
I have a question. On page 2 of the memo, the last paragraph there, speaks to resolution number G09-01A, the money that was previously authorized to renovate. I see where you're continuing with upgrades for inadequate structural issues or things that would allow you to sell the building, basically, correct?
Well, in actuality, it's to sell the building and also in order to keep up with the staff demands right now, mm-hmm. we're going to be needing more money out of that pot of funds to, for example, set up offices in the boardroom. One of the things I was going to mention at the end that we're looking at this being the last time we actually have a meeting in this boardroom that we're actually going to set up Chris, about 4 offices?
Yeah,
four offices.
Yeah.
So we have modifications that we're still looking at. We're going to take one of the conference rooms on the first floor and make offices. We've just hired 3 or 4 new individuals with ADA with all their programs that are still continuing to add personnel that need to be housed in this building.
Okay, so that's basically to get you
through whenever, right, whenever we are able to move to a new building.
Okay.
Thank you. Begs the question, what's the plan for us and where are we going to meet?
Well, there's this guy.
Mr. Bell.
No more.
I remember, it may have been email discussion, it might have been a board meeting, but we can look at alignment with availability of our conference facilities, which also include video conference.
That's the Atwood Building.
Atwood Building, and especially thinking about revenue and commerce availability during the legislative session, that could be, having video conference would be preferable to teleconference. So again, I volunteer our space to look first, and if we can accommodate it, we can look on other floors as well. It isn't just ours. We can look at revenue.
We have a conference room.
One of the issues we had with having these downtown was parking.
We'll look into the process of validation. I'll refresh my memory on time limit and process.
Okay. Sean and I have done a lot of research, and we've asked for available dates at the BP Energy Center, which has no fees. And then the other place that we've been looking at is the public conference room at the Lusac Library, which has really small fees and lots of free parking. So we're looking at a variety of options. So
we'll put a plan together and present it to the board.
Okay.
Thanks. We're not going to be homeless.
And if we don't have a plan by that time, we won't
move
forward with the modifications.
Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Irvin.
So regarding video conferencing over phone conferencing, I would opt out of video conferencing. Just right now it's about 3 a.m. and I don't want to video conference in my jammies.
We don't want that.
Thank you.
Thank you. I've got a question, Ed. So this process of seeking a building, has there been discussion between AEA and ADA on does it make sense to co-locate still, or strategically is there enough commonalities or enough need for shared services that's necessary, or has there been a discussion of maybe it makes sense that AEA is somewhere and ADA is somewhere? What
Well, I'd take a shot at that. And is Sarah still here?
She is.
Oh, okay. Is that on the shared services that we believe that, especially with finance, procurement, that those core areas are completely shared between AEA and ADA, and at this point in time, there is no plan to split those shared services up. So we are believing that, yes, we would be looking at co-locating in the same building. And also, we have the understanding, as we met in November, that was the board's desire, too. So that's how we move forward in analyzing the space needs. Sarah?
And thank you, Mr. Chairman. This also plan includes then being able to have the project office, this is Sitna Watana effort, in the same building, because those are, having a project office is very nice. However, there is a lot of additional work for administrative staff and finance staff in order to coordinate the courier services between the two and any type of support services. And finance is the largest. I think Valerie probably supervises the most number of employees still in the building. And really, finance is, it's pretty interesting. I've kind of viewed it as everybody in finance touches AEA issues. Some people in finance touch ADA issues, but it is pretty much AEA has a lot of activity throughout the entire finance group, from the brick-and-mortar work to the rural energy programs, that it would be very difficult for us to split to two separate locations.
Thank you. Other questions from the board? Hearing none, a motion would be in order.
So moved.
A motion by Mr. Arvin.
Second.
Second by Mr. Sheldon. Any further discussion? Hearing none, roll call, please.
Mr. Wilson?
Aye.
Mr. Sheldon?
Aye.
Mr.
Yes.
Mr. Arvin?
Aye.
Deputy Commissioner Tangeman?
Yes.
Commissioner Bell?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you. Brings us to item 7C, which is the DeLong Mountain Transportation System Executive Session. Mr. Bjorkvist, as always, and I'm going to miss, although I think I can develop a relationship with our new council.
I'm sure you can.
Some guidance into getting into executive session.
You should entertain a motion to go into executive session. The purpose is to discuss negotiation strategies, and the immediate knowledge of that would clearly have an adverse effect on the authority's financial status, and therefore it's appropriate for executive session under the Open Meetings Act.
Very good. A motion to that effect would be in order.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make such a motion.
Such motions are second to that motion.
Second.
Second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? All right, let's spend a minute to clear out the room and get prepared.
I mean, to me,
We're on the record. If we could get a motion, if we could get some direction, Mr. Bjorkvist, we'd like to get a motion to go back into executive session for matters pertaining to the ADA Executive Director Review.
And that is an appropriate topic for executive session because it's matters that could, matters that are of a personal nature that could be embarrassing, and therefore it's appropriate for executive session. But the executive director should be given an opportunity to say if he wants that discussion to be in public, he could make that choice. But I understand that he's not going to do that so he can have a more candid conversation.
Very good.
And so you should just have a motion. You already expressed the motion.
A motion to that effect would be in order.
So moved.
Second.
There's a motion by Wilkins, second by Bell. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Great. Let's take a let's take a 10-minute break. We'll grab.
Are on the record.
Okay. Call the meeting back to order at 1:26, and a motion to recess the ADA meeting at this point would be in order.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion to recess the ADA meeting.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
The motion is second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. All those opposed? Okay. We're recessed. Thank you.